Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, and welcome to another edition of Visions with me, Yuralee Wickham-Ashby. And today, as we take a moment to pause during this national lockdown, I thought it would be absolutely wonderful to have a conversation with Sinclair Brown about how can we deal with all the stressors and various stress levels that are associated with life generally, but even more so now that we're going through this COVID-19 pandemic season. Welcome to the program, Sinclair.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Blessings to be on this program. I feel quite privileged.
Well, it's a pleasure always to have you chatting and just generally raising the bar when it comes to feeling hopeful and thinking positively about life and all that is involved in life. So today we want to take a moment and really look at how can we as individuals, as family members especially, cope with, manage the various stressors that we are experiencing right now with a national lockdown, you know, the restrictions, curfew, going to the supermarket at specific times, all these new variants in our lives, along with the regular stressors of managing your family, dealing with work, dealing with being unemployed, dealing with conflict within the family. You know, how where do we start? Where should we start?
But that's a difficult area to where to start. The true matter, because of the different complexities that we have and economic groups and social groups and genders and likewise, I don't think there's a one-shot musket to find out where we're at. But I think that despite where we're at, you need to give yourself time to just, you know, be yourself, to accept the fact that, yes, I'm frustrated, yes, I am sad, yes, I am lonely. But there's some people that actually, they're actually in their house by themselves, and that it can be a serious issue. So being in lockdown and being lonely and being by themselves and not being connected to other people can be very challenging. So for the first thing, from an emotional perspective, is to give yourself time. Accept the fact that I'm having these emotions or feeling these emotions instead of fighting them. And that is my number one suggestion. Having a place where we can accept, and there are many persons out there, online and hotlines and counselors and different things like that to assist us with how we are feeling, yeah? So I would suggest that, to call someone, get some, if it's getting too much for you, counseling. There are free counselors out there. There are also paid counselors, psychologists, psychiatrists. Use other than your friends, finding someone that you could call, fighting, communicate with. Thank God for the technology that we can use. We can use, obviously, the phone. We can use, we actually see people now. We have an environment now we could actually use, such as WhatsApp video. So just along with hearing someone, we could send a voice note. We could even send a video so that we didn't have to necessarily take our time. But you can send a video to someone to encourage them, send a note, send an encouraging word, and there's many social platforms. So first acknowledging how you feel, and then communicating with others out there, connecting with other people, is one of my first suggestions. The other one is get over your head, you know what I mean? Because we can get stuck inside of our head, and all those voices can really cause a challenge. Yeah. So, I guess you got a couple more, but let me just hear what you have to say from the
Yuli. Right, okay. So let's talk a little more about the getting comfortable with yourself, you know, giving yourself freedom to really experience the various emotions that you may be having at this time, loneliness, maybe just the onset of depression, frustration, anxiety, you know, just allowing yourself to do that, and then, as you said, using the technology, because sometimes just having a small group chat, maybe you and two other persons, just having a small conversation can sometimes lift the spirits and give you moments where you can feel more encouraged to forward.
Yes, please. And that is the main thing. And the good thing is, as I said, there's several persons there that are offering different things, different Zoom discussions. Right. There are a lot of educational platforms out there. So you can be actually going to a platform. You might not be an extroverted person. You might not want to be seen, you know, be seen, but you don't have to. The good thing with a lot of platforms, you could go on, listen. You don't necessarily have to contribute. You don't have to talk. People don't have to see you. But you could actually take in and be joining classes or join environments that are outside of your realm that one time you may not have had a time or opportunity to do such. There are cooking classes. There are classes on learning how to use herbs, how to use plants. It is just a matter of getting up out of your bed, to be quite honest. Because when you're depressed, you can stay so stuck in your bed. Like, why do I need to get up? There's nothing to go to. I'm stuck in, you know, in the house. You know, you get in a very depressed state. What you need to do is actually get up and actually get out of bed as normally, take a shower, dress. Like every day, although I work online, I get up and I dress. I literally dress for work, and I literally in a room inside of my house. But I get up, I put on my socks, I put on my pants, I put on my shirt, you know what I mean, and get focused. So it gives my mind and brain that although I may not be actually leaving home, I'm in a different emotional, mental space. So those are my things. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I think one of the other important ingredients is doing some form of exercise. It helps with the adrenaline flow. It helps with the neurons that makes you feel more alert and alive. And I must say that even within the disability community, there are a few groups that I am aware of that each day, well, 3 days a week, sorry, they are doing exercise routines. So, you know, even though you may be in a wheelchair, you may have mobility issues, you may have dexterity issues, there are still some type of exercise that you can do, particularly the breathing techniques that helps with the adjustments to so many other areas in your life.
Yes, Lisa, that was one of the points. We're glad you jumped there. But obviously joining workout groups and sessions. There are online workouts. As you said, there are groups that are specialized in over 40s, over 50s. So males, females, those with disabilities, those that are hearing impaired, those that are visually impaired, those that, like I said, have mobility challenges. So the truth of the matter is that we are in the right time, if there is such a time, but we are in a very privileged time that we can have access to even exercise and working out and virtual therapy. And things like that. That is quite important to get the body going and exercise, connecting with people, because then there are life groups in Barbados. There's several literally life groups in Barbados that you can join that cater to your particular need, that are also free and also that are for a fee that can cater towards you.
Right. So, Sinclair, earlier you mentioned getting out of your head. Talk to us a bit more about what this means and how can we do it?
You see, well, the challenge with, like, acute social isolation, it can evoke cravings to respond to other things, social cues. So we can get so much in our brain, and because we have different types of brains, people think everybody thinks the same way. We don't. So many times as a counselor, I try to get people to understand that first about your personality is your personal reality. Yeah, so it affects your perspective. Your thoughts cause you to see things from that perspective. For some people, they're what we call ruminative thinkers. They can have a tendency to overthink, and they can't get their brain shut off. And this season can be very, very taxing and almost demonstrative for them. Because they could get into their head and their brain could just keep going and going and going, and they're laying down because they've not had anything to use their brain for. If they have negativity or a situation that they can't resolve, it can actually cause depression and suicidal thoughts. So the way to get out of your head is to start to connect with other things outside of yourself. So giving is a good way to get outside of your head. Seeking to serve another entity, organization, or people is an excellent way to do that. Getting out of mundane routines. Once again, getting somebody to pull you out, as I said, to give you a call, to say, let's do this. The exercising is another thing like that. The breathing exercises, as you mentioned, you do very beautifully. So that is my things we need to understand. Exercise, breathing exercises, and even something called mindfulness. And that is something that the listeners can look up, something called mindfulness exercises. Mm-hmm.
And there are quite a few online.
Yes, please. Right? And these are things that help us to get out of our head because we could go in and just think and maybe get the anxiety, we get the heavy breathing, we can feel our heart palpitating, we feel we're having a heart attack, you know, panic attacks and anxiety attacks. So the deep breathing is very, very good. Mindfulness techniques are very, very good for these things. The giving and being... doing things outside of myself and not falling into a routine is very, very good.
Now, Sinclair, one of the major, major challenges that is confronting most people, most families, most individuals is that of finance. Mm-hmm. We are in a time when so many people have been laid off or have become permanently severed from their jobs, or maybe just one person working in a household, and it's proven to be quite a bit difficult, as some people may not have done some of the financial followed some of the financial advice from, you know, time before, where you are encouraged to save emergency funds for a period like this that would tide you for a little while. So how can we start to examine and find solutions to cope with the financial pressures that most households are experiencing right now?
The thing about it is that majority of persons that will be facing financial pressures will generally be those of the middle income and the lower economic bracket.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the middle income bracket would have been transitioning or using their funds to transition their economics. So if the shutdown of everything coming to a halt, many middle class persons will find themselves in a very desperate situation. They would have to use their resources of credit cards, and there's a high probability that those right now would have been quite challenged, but you know.
Yeah.
Recognize that we started from last year into this year. Uh-huh. So many businesses are closed, so while they still have the expenses to pay, the generated income would be seriously impacted. Likewise, for those of the lower economic bracket, where the economics for them, where we talk about savings and likewise with not being a privilege, as many would like
Correct.
To think, because you cannot save unless you have disposable income or extra income. Many times persons are working for paycheck to paycheck, literally. And even for those that have saved the buffer of 3 to 6 months, I think that those right now have also been maxed out and being threatened. So in the midst of this, it's something that has been thrown in the whole world and society. The thing about it is that it is everybody sharing the same challenge. So realistically, what you try to get persons to see is that they're not the only one, not that you're not having empathy, but so that they don't see themselves as doing something wrong or failing or should have, could have, would have situations. So to stay in the reality of this is something that was not prepared, it was not planned, it was something that hit the entire world. And then from there, what can I do? What are my resources? How can I manage those resources that I have? So some things, yes, not eating as much. or portioning, or set up my portions. You know, he would love to, but the challenge there, Yuli, is that unfortunately, when we are stressed, unfortunately, we have a tendency to eat more. When we are stressed, we have a tendency to consume more. So that is really the, you know, it's right. Very challenging, which is different. The difference between now and several years ago with the baby boomers, where everyone was economically, because that was life. Yes, it was stressful, but it was life. Yeah, which is different to this thing coming as a wave upon everyone and kind of stop and halting everything. So the stress levels on this is actually extremely high. So it causes people to consume more as much right. as you would like them not to.
Yeah. And back then too, you know, you may not have had, and someone who had a bit more than you would be willing to share with you as well. And I think one of the other concerns that I have noticed is that sometimes we can push people into a position of feeling guilty about some of the choices they have made. Like, for example, you know, I might be saying, well, you're not working and you don't have a lot of money. Why would you continue to pay for cable TV or keep your landline when you can let that go and that would be a savings? You can take that money and use it in another area that would be a bit more important. What do you say to that?
Which is that is very logical. And once again, it depends on the mindset and the culture of people. So logically, that is very, very true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. However, you see that we will be making decisions that for many might not seem logical. Yeah. And that's because I call it our drug of choice. Realistically,
right.
Many of us are using different things for our drug of choice. So logically, mm-hmm. yes, we should be able to cut and contrive, take that money that we're spending on this and put it towards that. But while some may see where it might be entertainment, it may be cable, it may be, kind of a medium, Netflix, it might be, you know, whatever. The truth of the matter is that many of us are using some of the pacifiers. Some people, cigarettes is very high. Cigarette sales are very high. Drugs,
alcohol,
you know,
is still very
alcohol
high.
Yes. Is the most destructive drug out there, and that has been, and if you look, they're flying off the shelves. Sex, addiction, porn, gambling, snacks, I mean, that is the other thing you have. Drug out there, you know, snacks and be selling like sand. Mm-hmm. Yeah. High carbohydrate foods, fried fruits, high sugars. There's a lot of binge eating. I said you need to entertain, you need to set, you need to party. All of these are things that people are using to pacify in a season when they're stressed. Yeah. Health industry actually increases in this season too. But all of these are fear factors and stressors. So the truth of the matter, yes, logically, we should be able to say, oh, don't buy those pack of cigarettes, save the money. Don't buy that money, spend on alcohol, save the money. You know, yes. And people logically want to say that. But the truth of the matter is that we are seeking to pacify ourselves with our nervousness and anxiousness with the stress to change our emotions. And that is why, although logically, and I agree with you, that we should not be in the season where let's put this money aside, let's see all the extra needs, the things that we need and we want. Let's have a sheep from the goat so that we can, you know, the sheep from the goat so that we can separate and put things in a place because we do not know what tomorrow brings. Unfortunately, I don't believe that the majority are doing.
Yes, but then